This is Meet the People. I'm Kels Hetherington. My guest today is Barbara Angayak. Barb is the president of the National Education Association in Alaska and is on the Advisory Task Force for Higher Education and Career Readiness in Alaska. I've asked Barbara on the radio to discuss the Advisory Task Force's preliminary recommendations just released to the Alaska State Legislature. Barb, welcome to Meet the People.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Well, I should also add that we have Austin Roof in the studio. Austin's our executive producer, and he's also on mic, so we'll hear from him once in a while. Now, Barb, the NEA is a organization representing union members. Is that correct?
That is correct. We represent teachers and education support professionals across the state.
Now, you are on this advisory task force on higher education and career readiness that the governor set up when he signed into law Senate Bill 221. What is the purpose of the advisory task force?
The purpose of the task force is to put together recommendations on how we can make sure that students who are coming out of our high school level programs in the state are really ready for higher education beyond secondary programs, which to us, as the task force has worked, has meant not only college and university, but also tech fields, career readiness kinds of programs where students are needing to be at a certain level of proficiency skill-wise to go on to higher levels of education.
So you're using college and higher education in a very broad term.
Correct. It's not the traditional four-year college program or two-year program.
Now, one of my favorite recommendations in the task force's preliminary report is the recommendation that the legislature substantially increase teacher salaries, and it wants to see a hike in teacher pay of between 50 and 75%. What have teachers done to deserve that kind of a pay hike?
Well, first of all, it's widely recognized that teacher preparation and the work that teachers do to become certified teachers do not have an equivalent starting salary or compensation as do people in other fields. But let me just correct you so that you understand that this set of preliminary recommendations was exactly that. It was a draft. It is something that was up for discussion by the group, and that particular item that you just mentioned has been discarded by the group in total.
No, because right now teachers make about $42,000 when they start out a position as a new, fresh teacher out of school. And so the recommendation, as it was written in the preliminary report, would have increased teacher pay right out of the box from $42,000 to about $63,000 if we increased it 50%. And if it went up 75%, teacher pay would go to $73,500 per year. And they get a lot of vacation, too. Now, I'm not saying it shouldn't go up that high, but that seems like a whopping pay hike. Were you in support of that recommendation?
No, and as a matter of fact, that was a draft item that was put into the preliminary report that no one on the task force recognized.
What do you mean, didn't recognize it?
We did not have discussion about that. It was not a recommendation. What had happened was that the staff member who was putting together the draft report took information from all sorts of sources, and they were not necessarily items that had been discussed by members of the task force in any of the six meetings that we held.
What about teacher tenure? That is something that this report addresses, and it said either it should be eliminated on a statewide basis, or it should be made more like university system 10 years that take between 5 and 10 years to actually qualify for, and if it is continued, the report says it should require some more from the teacher that is receiving tenure. What do you think about that? Do you support tenure?
Okay, again, let me start by reminding you that the portion of the draft that had that included in it has been discarded, so it is not a part of the recommendations in any way. We did have a short, brief discussion about tenure as a group, and we all have a pretty solid understanding that tenure in our state, first of all, has been dealt with. I believe it was 1998. We had some legislation that changed the provisions of tenure in our state so that teachers needed an additional year to achieve tenure, and that if there were teachers who needed remediation, needed assistance to become more proficient in their work, that there was a plan in place for them to have a plan of improvement so that it was clear on exactly what it was they were deficient in, and there was some accountability on management and administration as well as the teacher to make sure that those things were met. But the agreement and the understanding about what tenure means in Alaska is different than what some people believe tenure means. In some circles, people believe that tenure means you have a job for life and you can never be fired. That is absolutely false as far as teacher tenure in Alaska in K-12. What it means is a fair dismissal process so that the rights of an employee are protected, and if there is a reason to fire someone, that all of the things that should be followed are followed, and that that person's career is thoroughly given the opportunity to be reviewed, to have a process in place to make sure that someone's career is not thrown out just because somebody decides that they don't like one certain aspect of that person's work.
But tenure is very unique to the school system and private industry and the radio business. We certainly don't have tenure. So this is something that a lot of people have been critical of. And it only takes, even after that revision a few years ago, about 3 years for a teacher to have a job for life. And you say it's not a job for life. However, the requirements that someone, an administrator, would have to go through in order to fire a teacher are so arduous that it, in effect, never happens.
I beg to differ about whether they are arduous or not. The employee in the public school system, a teacher, has very little choice about what industry they're working in. And the requirement that an administrator take a careful look, rather than just popping their head in somebody's classroom to see if the work is being done or not, really is not arduous. I mean, we're asking for an administrator to take time to really find out what's going on in a classroom. And there are many, many variables as to what is happening in a classroom dependent on what kind of preparation a child has had before they've come to school in a particular day, what sort of background, what sort of opportunities they have, if they are being properly taken care of and have enough sleep, enough food, appropriate clothing, attention by someone who's a responsible adult in their home, the community's attitude toward whatever is going on. There just are a lot of variables that don't exist in private industry.
All right. I'm talking with Barbara Angayak. She is the president of the National Education Association of Alaska. And we're talking about the Advisory Task Force for Higher Education and Career Readiness in Alaska. This is Meet the People. I'm Kels Hetherington. And the program here also airs on the Native Voice One radio network. There was one recommendation that the task force included in its preliminary recommendation report, and that is For school days to start at 9 o'clock instead of earlier in the day, I like that. Is that going to get traction in the final report?
While it is something that is being considered, it's not going to be a primary recommendation from the task force because it's kind of ancillary to the goals of really looking at what will make a serious impact in the result of, you know, making sure that kids are really ready to go on to programs beyond high school. There are a number of schools that have tried this, that have changed the window of when school starts and when it ends over the years, and pretty much the students who are late to school are still late, even if you have a later start time. Most of the comments that were given by the student member sitting on the task force was that, in general, if school starts later, that means the kids will stay up later by that amount of time, and it won't really have impact.
Well, that is those are interesting observations and maybe reasons why the start time should stay where it is right now. Why is the task force recommending that the legislature act to include the taking of some form of online distance education coursework as a requirement for high school graduation?
Again, this is something that was in the preliminary report that will not be in the final report, because for the legislature to mandate courses that are online, it can be problematic. Sometimes we have connectivity issues, the concerns that many rural communities have about trying to offer these types of courses are pretty significant. And again, it's something where we were pretty much in agreement that while online is certainly an option, in certain situations, we want to make sure that our students are being taught by a certified teacher who can be present in the classroom with them.
It seemed to me that that recommendation might have been sort of a slap in the face to rural areas where it might be thought that education were not happening at the kind of par value that it needed to be going on at. Would that, because I would suspect that you would have had the idea that the online coursework would be led from Anchorage, not from Bush, Alaska. Am I correct?
That isn't necessarily what the thinking was. There are a number of REAAs in Alaska, and I actually am from Bethel, so I'm very familiar with this scenario where you've got a district office and they are able to hire a highly qualified, higher-level content area teacher who can offer a course that you may not have a teacher in your village school or your rural community school, and they can offer the coursework. The concern really is whether there is follow-through, whether there is someone in the classroom present with the students to help assist them with coming up with questions they may have, concerns, understanding what's being asked of them, and those sorts of things. But again, this is one of those recommendations where the members of the task force really felt like this was kind of a micromanaging kind of reach that didn't affect directly what the task of the group is.
Well, I'm similarly concerned about the smaller communities when it comes to the recommendation concerning limiting the number of school districts that are independent in the state of Alaska. In the preliminary recommendations, it says that the task force would like to consolidate the number of school districts in the state in order to reduce the number of bureaucracies. That would probably also mean that the smaller communities like Bethel, like Sandpoint, King Cove, Dutch Harbor would suffer.
You're absolutely correct, and this, yet again, is a recommendation that was in the preliminary draft that has been dropped from what we believe will be going to the legislature on April 1st. Great.
Yeah, Austin Roof, our executive producer sitting here, has a question for you, Barb.
So we just cleared things up a lot there, where the final report was heading with that last summarization that you did. And one thing that really stood out with me on the report that I believe is going to be so important in helping education of the children is the involvement of the parents with their child, you know, via discipline, via assisting with homework, being there. And that's something that we've seen in rural Alaska is a problem. What kind of steps is the board talking about in assisting this without being obviously too demanding or too, you know, meddling in the affairs of parents, but also assisting them and giving them the tools that they need to be there for the children?
One of the recommendations that we talked about, as I said, we're going to make some kind of overarching statements about parental involvement, about early childhood education, those kinds of things. We want to do what we can to help parents see the importance of their involvement, but we also recognized in the discussion that the legislature can't really mandate parental involvement. We can provide information. We can make sure that our educators have all the information they need to help in meeting with parents and talking about things like homework and attendance and discipline, planning for higher ed opportunities and those sorts of things. But there are not going to be specifics on the legislature mandating certain levels of parent involvement, because we realize that we really can't do that. The department right now, one of the recommendations was that the statewide grade level expectations be written in a way that parents can really understand them and interpret them, and the department is already working on that. So even though that was part of the preliminary report, it's kind of redundant because the Department of Education and Early Development is already working toward that.
All right, just jump in here. We've got Barb Angayak on the phone. She is the president of the National Education Association in Alaska and is a member of the Advisory Task Force for Higher Education and Career Readiness in Alaska. And they have published a preliminary report of recommendations for education in Alaska. This program airs live on 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint and King Cove and is also distributed by Native Voice One to some public radio stations. I'm Kels Hetherington, and Austin Roof is also right here. He is the executive producer. How do we get more Native American teachers in the classroom? Because when you look around a lot of these rural school districts where, you know, there's almost 50% of the population is an Alaska Native, you don't see that many people as teachers in the local school system who are Alaska Natives?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because there are a number of issues related to this. First, we know that if there is a teacher who is from the culture of the students they're working with, that that's the highest pinnacle that you can ask for as far as serving as a role model, because kids really relate to people who look and act like them and who come from their background. So we are very concerned about this, and there are a number of things that are happening in our state related to it. But it also is a problem because of federal mandates that cause some difficulty. So first, the programs that exist now, we have Future Teachers of Alaska programs in a number of places, particularly rural Alaska, around our state. These are clubs that kids can belong to who are interested and have some knowledge already or want to find out more about becoming teachers. So that exists and is a very highly successful program. The University of Alaska sends, as a member of the task force, an educator by the name of Lolly Karpluck, who is originally from Mountain Village and lives in Fairbanks and works at the university. And she is the leader of the Alaska Teacher Indigenous Teacher Preparation Project. It is a grant-funded program where they are supporting people who want to come on campus and become teachers. So those programs exist. A program that we support that we believe is very important is National Board Certification for Teachers. There is a national board set of teacher standards that we believe are very, very critical and very helpful to the achievement of students. And so we are supportive of that program, and the legislature has a bill before it right now to provide some additional compensation as well as some ability to receive a loan to pay for going through the process. It's quite expensive. It's $2,500 for a teacher to go through National Board Certification. We currently have 120 teachers statewide who are nationally board certified, and we're looking to increase that, and we're trying to find some additional ways that we can encourage that. But I wanted to just focus on your comment about, well, we don't have that many Native teachers in our state. You're right. We don't have the number we need. There was a period of time before No Child Left Behind was passed that had a much larger number of Indigenous teachers going through our education program to become teachers and to go out to schools. But right now, we're facing an uphill battle where kids are sitting in our classrooms doing nothing but being taught by teachers who are facing huge pressure to perform to make sure that their kids can pass federally mandated tests.
Yeah, right.
Right. So here's the thing. If you're a child sitting in a classroom and your teacher is forced to do nothing but test preparation to make sure that you can pass that exam coming up in a couple weeks here, you're not really seeing somebody who is able to demonstrate their love of learning, who is really able to demonstrate how much education is important and that they love being a teacher, because all of this added stress and pressure to do well on a test score doesn't allow teachers creativity, doesn't allow them to teach what they know is really in the best interest of their students. You know, if you want to see successful teaching and successful learning, you've got to let teachers do the work that they are prepared and trained to do.
One of the problems that we have throughout Bush, Alaska is this high teacher turnover rate. We see every year many of the teachers leaving the classroom just for another place. Sometimes they're even going between Bush, Alaskan communities. How do we slow down the turnover of teachers every single year?
Well, that's an excellent question. There are a couple things that are on my mind about how we can do that. One is we do exit interviews with people who are leaving the classroom every year. And the strongest, most clear statement that people leaving make to us is not that they don't feel welcome in the community, not that they don't feel compensated fairly, not that their housing is bad. The number one reason they leave is because they don't feel supported. They don't feel like they are getting enough real feedback on what they're doing and that somebody actually cares about what's going on in their classrooms. And one of the ways that I believe is very, very important to make sure that they don't feel that way and that they get what they need in order to be successful and for our kids to really benefit from it, is mentoring.
Right.
We have a statewide mentor project that is outstanding, that has clear and demonstrated success, and we need to support that program. We need to make sure that we are hiring the very best mentors we can, and making sure that every beginning teacher, every person who is new in a community gets the help and support they need.
Yeah, I've met some of the mentor teachers who have come through Sandpoint, which is where this program originates from, and they're all from the big cities, either Anchorage or Fairbanks. It would be very helpful if you could have some teachers visit a place like Sandpoint from a place like Bethel or Barrow, who have had similar experiences in the classroom and dealing with school boards and communities.
I'm so glad you said that, because there are a number of mentors who are from rural Alaska. I served in the project myself for 3 years, and I'm from Bethel. A colleague of mine who is from the tiny village of Sleetmute served in the project for 3 years. Another teacher who was located in McGrath served in the project. But one of the things you want to make sure whenever you're doing this type of a project is that you have folks who are really familiar with strong pedagogy, understanding the teacher standards, making sure that they really are able to articulate everything that the teacher is going to need to really improve their practice. Yes, they need to have understanding of the communities that the teachers being served are working in, but it's got to be a balance. And you're right that the greatest number have been from the urban areas, and that's always a struggle. And I know that there are efforts every year for the project to try to hire more master teachers from rural Alaska to serve those communities.
What is the most important recommendation you think the task force will make in its final report?
I think there are several important ones, but probably the most important one is that we understand there is a need for a comprehensive plan to make sure that career and technical education is a solid part of every program, and that it is a pre-K through 12 plan that then launches kids into higher ed programs at a rate that they really can handle and that they're prepared for. So sort of this overarching idea that there's a place for career and technical education in everything we do, and that it should be a core component of the overall school plan.
All right, Barb and Gayak, thank you for coming on Meet the People and talking with us about some of these recommendations that the Advisory Task Force on Higher Education and Career Readiness has made in its preliminary report. We'll be interested to see what the final report says.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much. That is
thank you.
Barb Angayek. She is the president of the National Education Association in Alaska, and she's on the Advisory Task Force for Higher Education and Career Readiness in this state. That is Meet the People for today. Austin Roof is our executive producer. Shannon Summer is our chief engineer. I'm Kels Hetherington. Thanks for listening. This program airs live in Sandpoint and King Cove. It's produced at KSDP and is distributed by Native Voice One.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.